In this episode of Podcast Tactics, you will learn how to podcast powerfully and be unstoppable, one day at a time. Today's guest is a successful and experienced podcaster who happens to be on the autism spectrum. Despite this, his passion for podcasting shines through. I can't wait for you to hear his remarkable story. Welcome to another episode of Podcast Tactics. This is the show where you will learn how to podcast from other podcasters. Hello, I'm James. In today's show, you will be inspired by a podcaster who is a voice for those on the autism spectrum. He and his mom are on a mission to remove the stigma associated with autism and other conditions that many think are disabilities. Listen in to hear how he is building a successful show that attracts celebrity guests. Enjoy the interview, and remember to join the mailing list at podcasttactics.com to get new episode notifications. Now, let's get into it. Joining me right now is Sam and Gina Mitchell from Indiana. Sam and Gina, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks.
We're really glad to be
here. Yeah, we're really glad to be here. Jinx, I'm excited.
Let's dive right in. Let's talk about your podcast. What's the name of the show and what's it all about?
Autism Rocks and Rolls. And it's about autism, how you cope with daily struggles that you may or may not understand. And the reason why I started is I've seen a lot of podcasts lately, and we'll get into the whole spiel of why later. But what I've noticed is, and I realize it now, is doctors, they're the ones who do this. They're boring. And I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. It's like 1 in 54 people live with it. Autism disability. It's more in boys and girls. Women and her not, you can find that on the internet easy. But they don't see the emotional side. They don't get the opportunity to see that. There's nothing they can talk about with honesty and bluntness. They can find some conversation, but they don't understand it till they live it.
Yeah, this is coming from direct from you, right? So tell me how the whole idea started for starting a podcast. Was that your idea or was that your mom's?
Mine. So here's the story. So it's kind of a part of it. It's not like the main part, but it's a little part. So we have a hospital in our area. It's called Riley Hospital, and that's where sick kids go because they're not going to make it possibility and they might die. But our school, they have dance marathons where you can play cornhole, you can do sumo suits, you can dance all 24 hours. And yes, they really do. I promise you, I wouldn't lie about that. But our school had our first annual one, and I see people coming down thinking, well, what do they do? They have cameras, microphones, and I found that fascinating, still do. But I thought, let's go ask what they're doing. And I did, and sure enough, they're talking about this media club, you know, it's all about this, blah, blah. Join next year, and I fast forward next year, that's where I found the podcasting, and I still do our own school's Thundercast, and we're starting a new podcast, which I don't know the title of it yet, but if I do, I'll keep you updated. But I decided to eventually start my own podcast and make a whole main one called Autism Rocks and Rolls. And the English teacher of her side came out and she decided, well, what do you want the purpose to be? And I decided to make it about autism because I noticed that there was no emotional side of autism that people are talking about.
That's awesome. Sam, would you mind if I ask how old you are?
18.
You're 18.
Senior high school.
Senior. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the challenges of podcasting. What kind of challenges have you ran into with that?
The media, the technicality. I mean, my thing is the interviews are great. I mean, if you watch them, they're great, but then sometimes there's little technical issues every once in a while.
Like what?
Beep, coming off. You talk real loud and then you talk slow. Then you get real loud, then you get real slow, then you get real loud. It's just that stuff. And that's annoying as hell.
Yeah, that's a popular one. I mean, mastering the technological aspect of it, I think that's kind of a holy grail for a lot of people. But I think content is king. What you're up to with your show totally outshines any technical glitches that might be there. I listened to a couple of your episodes. Honestly, I didn't hear any technical issues. I was impressed. Your content was really strong. So that's what takes a precedent over any technical issues, quite honestly.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about your successes with the podcast.
All right. So, yeah, it's a very successful one. I'd like to thank. I have now sponsors. I'm going to give a shout out to Wellspring Paint Solutions and Perfection Auto Glass. along with Salon 45 and our other sponsors, which are
Commercial Service.
Yep, thank you. And
Life Paths Counseling.
And CPA Tax Service, along with Bellsville Automotive and the Greene County General Hospital.
I think you got them. Yep.
What an achievement to have so many sponsors at this point. How long have you been podcasting for?
A little over a year, since October 2019.
About 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a long time. How's that been for you?
It's been fun. Been a fun journey. A little hard, I won't lie.
Uh-huh.
But it's a good journey. I can go to bed and be happy that I'm doing this for now.
That's awesome. What's the hardest thing you find about podcasting?
The hardest thing, honestly, when technology messes up.
Yeah.
And when it becomes a humongous pain in your rear.
Yeah. We rely on it in many ways, not just podcasting, but yeah. What do you love about podcasting?
The editing.
You do? Yeah. Wow. Okay. That
when you get to figure out the line and you're at the ums and ands. When you first hear a man, you're just like, bleh, this stinks. But the more when you get rid of those ums and ands, little tongue twister, and the dead spaces, when there's like this big line of no one saying anything, it sounds more professional. It sounds so much better.
So I have to ask you, do you edit your own shows then?
Yep.
Fantastic.
All me.
And when you do, let's say, an interview show and it goes, well, I mean, how long is your raw footage? Is it about an hour? How much do you cut out of it?
For the most part, it's sometimes be 35 minutes. It could be short, it could be an hour. The last one was like Pat was a record. It was the longest one alive that I've done. So it all depends on the interview, depends on the topic. It all depends.
So sometimes you're leaving a lot on the cutting room floor, and sometimes it's easy. Not much ums or dead space to cut out. Okay.
Just from kind of looking in, it seems like to me that the interviews, like the popular interviews, maybe the ones with the celebrity or ones that are going to be like that everybody's really excited about, those tend to go longer.
Yeah, and there's a reason for it though. If you watched a big interview with Dan Rathers, to be honest, my dad introduced me to him. I'm not saying I don't like it, but I don't like leaving people hanging.
Yeah, he wants to be full circle complete. He wants to make sure that his guests get all of their thoughts out that they want to, and he's very thorough.
Yeah. So. The other is just like, so what do you do? Okay, that's kind of boring, but you leave me hanging. Let's get to the point here. Let's get the information that people need to know about you.
Mm-hmm.
And not just this little teeny, eensy, bitsy part.
How are you booking your interviews? How are you getting connected with people?
Message them.
You just reach out and ask, huh?
Yep. And you pray to God they have Messenger, because if they don't have it, you're crap out of luck, honestly.
So Messenger is the primary way that you reach out. Do you try to reach out in other ways?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah.
I do.
Well, you don't, but I do.
Yeah, the editor does.
No, he does. So his role with his business, he started it. He's the boss. I mean, he tells me what to do, but when he started it, it was really just him. But then as it got bigger and bigger, you know, he did ask for help. And so everything but a lot of things that happens that you don't see is what I'm doing. And then he is the voice for sure. Like the voice of it. Although I did step in on the last one, there was some miscommunication and he wanted to make sure everybody was comfortable. And so he asked me to co-host with him and like on the spot spontaneously. So we did the best we could with it, but it turned out really well done, I think. But it's usually just him. And then we use Messenger. I've used email. I've used Instagram.
Okay.
I've used Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah.
If he really finds somebody that he really wants to reach out to, we'll search everywhere for it. So
well done. One of the intentions of my podcast is to connect people with the podcasting community. Is there any requests that you have for the podcasting community that you want to make?
Gordon Ramsay on it, I'll be happy.
Get Gordon Ramsay on.
He has certain people.
Mick Foley.
Okay.
For sure.
We really
those are the two big ones.
Yeah, Mick Foley is, he, Sam really likes WWE wrestling and has for a long time.
Since six.
So, yeah, his favorite wrestler is Mick Foley. We've always say, like, if we could, if he would, that's his dream guest.
And I met him, though, too. Was
yeah, he's met him.
Like, not podcastly, but just, you know, personally.
Yeah.
There's people that I would really like to have Dan Aykroyd on because he is on the autism spectrum.
Ellen.
Yeah, I just want to meet Ellen. So
awesome.
Personally. So, but as far as Dan Aykroyd, I think he would be such a good guest because he's so successful and like Sam has embraced who he is, his quirkiness, and has turned it into a successful acting career. So I think he would just be phenomenal on there.
Absolutely. So I do want to talk a little bit about a couple of your episodes. I listened to episode 101, the first one. I'm always curious.
That's not my favorite. I'll be honest. That wasn't my favorite.
Why? Can you explain? No. Is that because it was your first one?
Yeah, but it was kind of, I just found it bleh, like boring.
Okay. That's interesting. It did not occur to me that way. I will tell you why. I kind of listened to them backwards. I listened to your latest one, the most recent one first, and then I went back and listened to 101, and you are consistent. You're very strong on the air.
I'm glad you see it that way.
Very impressed. Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to judge oneself. You know,
for the problems, you didn't see this, but I kind of called out someone by accident.
Oh.
Oh, well, so I guess to kind of explain that too, when he first started,
there was no boundaries.
Well, being on the autism spectrum, that's kind of a struggle anyway for him, I think. Like, he and I have talked about that before, but he just got on there and talked. And then there was, you know, like an issue about his high school. And then it was something that he was kind of frustrated about. And then he didn't say a name, but he kind of pinpointed somebody that worked there with their title.
Okay.
And so when it was over, I'm always the one that I listen to it before he publishes it just to give him tips or if I see like we've said something.
Yeah, I said he was an idiot.
Yeah, he called him a name and then I was like, buddy, it's obvious who you're talking
about. But the first superintendent's not gonna listen to a podcast, highly doubtful.
Well, maybe, but that's what when he first started, I don't think he thought about that. And then as he became more professional, now he's very aware that, you know, like it's a podcast. It's very public right now. So you have to,
you gotta be careful.
You gotta make smart decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the Temple Grandin episode. How did you get connected with her?
The messenger. I'm not saying like I was, I was happy. I was fairly happy, like really happy with this guest. She was really smart. She's was on the spectrum. She has been through a lot.
Yeah.
Something I learned from her is kind of interesting, actually. She was talking about a young woman who made all good grades and all did well. Problem was, she didn't know how to buy something in the store. She couldn't learn how to do that without, like, crapping her pants or, like, fidgeting around.
Yeah, she was... I think her point there was... Temple Grandin was when... Because, I was ecstatic.
Yeah, she about called me because I was listening to music.
I just about passed out because we had messaged her. It had been several weeks before. And we didn't hear anything. And, you know, it was one of those things. I was like, I'm sure she gets approached all the time. And she's so incredible. So he was outside listening to music. And my husband and I were in the house. And my cell phone rang. And I picked it up. And her exact words were, yeah, Temple Grandin here. And I went, come on, like, and I said, and so I think I said something like, what? And then she said it again. And then but for just a second, I was like, who is doing this? Like, who is playing a trick on me?
Papa Joe's playing a trick on us again.
So I said, this is Temple Grandin. And she said, yep. And she called me on my cell phone and wanted to talk to him. And we got it all situated. And I just feel like she must have. There must have been something for her to say, I want to be a part of this. Because I'm sure she's, you know, like approached all the time. So it was incredible.
It was such a great, great episode. A really good interview. I was impressed by how it's, you were well prepared, and I wanted to ask you about that. Like, how well prepared were you? Did you have a script or an outline? Did you deviate from it?
Let me show you. I'll show you my notes.
Okay.
This is what I always do right here. At top, I always like put the intro because I'm nice. I like to have, as a way of gratitude, I always have like to pick, have my guests pick their favorite songs. Oh. Typically, it'd be two, but one of them, since I had two, I always have them pick their favorite song, just one. This is De Seuss's. This is the outro. Her favorites, and then the course shout outs and all the business stuff. And then the questions right here. Typically come up with 50. She eliminates them, and then I mush them together. And,
We definitely have a system, don't we?
Yeah. I always keep the same five questions. Like, what does having autism mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
What are your initial thoughts? How do you think our brains operate? What's the most rewarding, difficult thing about having autism? What advice would you give to someone who has autism? And then the end questions, I also like to keep, like, what's your favorite food?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite vacation? What's your favorite TV show? And is there a good memory that you could talk about for us? Reason being is because there's so much podcast out that I don't want to ask the same questions.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want like someone going to be like, I've heard this question before. You know?
Yeah, that's understandable. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that middle part is kind of the meat of what the interview is. And then he wants to start with maybe some thought provoking questions. And then those end ones are fun, you know, to kind of end the interview.
You gotta have fun with doing this. I mean, you gotta have fun. Why sure. doing it?
Yeah, that's great.
Everything I do, I try to at least.
Almost everybody that I, you know, have interviewed up to this point, they definitely bring that up. If you're not having fun, maybe time to hang up the headphones.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I was enjoyed about your interview with Temple Grandin is you seem to really engage with her on a fun level too. When you asked her about why is having manners these days important, her response was absolutely golden. I don't want to ruin it. I want people to listen in on it. She was like, yeah, this is why, because, and I'm not going to say, because I want people to listen in on that episode.
Yeah, she was very straightforward, but it was interesting when they were talking, they're both straightforward.
Yes.
When you have people, their brains are wired not the same, but in a similar fashion. It was just such a neat thing to see both of them just really open up to each other.
So, yeah, that dynamic, definitely. I'm also remembering when she was talking about artificial intelligence and how the ground up thinking and how when they train AI is how she thinks. And you immediately were like, that's how I think. That was a cool moment in that episode.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was neat.
So, Sam and Gina, I want to ask, and I think you've already answered this in some way, but I'm going to ask it again anyway. What is it that you want people to get out of listening to your show? Why should people listen to your podcast?
Okay. Well, there's another answer to it. It is the emotional side, but it's also the fact I want people to know that we're not broken. I want people to know that people on the spectrum are not broken, are not fit, or do not need to be fixed, aren't completely dumb. They understand what's going on. They don't need to live with their parents the rest of their life. You know, I'm college, but I'm not going to live with her forever. When people say, "Oh, he has autism," I'm so sorry. No, yeah,
there's no need to be sorry. Like mm-hmm. he's not. What was the today? I didn't tell you this, but I'm a teacher, and the kids. You know, I always get really good relationships with my students. I teach eighth grade. And they're very aware of like what Sam's podcast and how successful it's becoming. And they were really interested. We got approached to do an interview and we did decide to do it. I can't remember. Oh, the podcast. Well, and maybe I shouldn't say it yet because we are going to be on their show. But I'll just say that the title was.
No, don't say the title, say the podcast.
Well, I don't want to say that. Yeah, I don't want to. It was questionable, the questioning that they wanted to ask Sam.
Okay.
And it was one of those things where I felt like they wanted to talk about kind of the negativity. And they wanted to talk about like almost a healing process. Like, how can we heal Sam? And I wasn't comfortable with that. And it was completely up to him. But somebody today said in my classroom, we were talking about it, and they said, you just don't want people to pity him, right? And I said, why would I want them to pity him? He doesn't need to be pitied. I mean, it's not, there's nothing wrong. It's not a, does he have challenges every day? But I do too. And I'm sure
you don't do math at all.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that we all are disabled. I mean, he's no more disabled than I am. And so I don't know. That's just how we've always looked at it is Sam has autism, but you still have to function and you still are going to get good grades. And you still have to take the trash out and you still have to do your laundry.
I don't like you for the trash at all still. I don't at all.
I have never babied him. My husband and I have always given him the resources,
expectations,
the support, but
you have expectations.
Very high expectations.
I would say high expectations. You're not like a strict person.
Well, I just mean with survival.
Yeah. Like I get that. I'm saying you're not like
right.
You know, like march up tight, I guess.
Well, and the biggest thing in our family is being respectful. Autism or not, I don't care who you are, nobody deserves to be disrespected. And so that's kind of how he's been taught. So even with autism, there's been times where, you know, like he'll be too blunt or something will happen and I'll be like, bud, how else could have we done that? And I know in that moment, he didn't think I'm going to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
It just happened because of brain wiring, but I don't care. Like we're still going to correct that. And there's still an expectation for you, for him in this house and out there. Like, you know, like he disrespects a boss. They don't care if he has autism. So yeah.
There's going to be a consequence.
Absolutely. We've never ignored it ever. Like we've always embraced it, but there's still an expectation no matter what.
All right. It's time to get in our time machine. We're going to go forward in time. Let's go 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road. What do you hope for your podcast, Sam?
You know, that time traveling, if you're going to the future, you better, it's going to make a U-turn because I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what the future holds for me. And yes, I know it's kind of funny, but I don't know what the future holds. So that's only going to be as time will tell. Honestly, as with this virus, they always say one day at a time. That's what I'm taking this to, one day at a time.
That is a golden answer. Thank you, Sam.
I see huge possibilities. I mean, like I said, we said he had all of the, we mentioned his sponsors.
That happened very unexpectedly.
They're talking about, you know, one of his sponsors is just going 1,000 miles an hour, which I kind of do too. So it kind of works perfect. But, you know, they're talking, let's do a nonprofit. Let's do this. Let's do that. And I'm like, okay, he's got to finish high school first. And then
we can talk.
Then he really wants to go to college. And I don't want that to be taken away. But he definitely, this could 100% be his job with what he's monetary wise with what's happening right now, but I want him to want to do that. So
Sam, what are you going to major in college?
I plan on going to Ivy Tech for my general classes and a transfer to Vincennes for either media or tourism, not for like touring the world, but just traveling. You see, like sitting in the office and typing some kind of fun, like when you find some fun in Paris rather than the Eiffel Tower.
Like a travel agent.
Yeah, thanks. But like, when you find some fun in Paris, that's not the Eiffel Tower, that's pretty good. You get them away from the fancy thing that people don't need to know that. Well, they need to know about it, but
yeah.
Little holes in the wall.
Kind of off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. So before we wrap things up, I do have one last question for you, Sam and Gina. If your podcast gets developed into a movie, who is going to play the leading roles?
Who's going to play the movie of me? Can I play myself?
Except for you. Pick a celebrity.
Oh, come on.
Not Obama. That you're not a celebrity.
No,
pick a different celebrity.
Yeah, different. Not you as a celebrity. Who would?
You only Obama. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding on that.
Who would play? Who kind of thinks like you do?
Who thinks like you know what? We gotta go with who thinks like me. You know, this is gonna sound kind of corny, but one of my teachers, Mr. Okay. Ackerman.
I'm sorry, I stepped on that. Who is that? Which teacher?
My psychology teacher, creative writing teacher, and government teacher, Mr. Atkinson. I can't think of anyone else.
Well, but you guys kind of do think alike, though. You're right. Like, if you, that's why he's your favorite teacher. That's funny.
Gina, how about you?
Oh my gosh, I'm sitting here thinking.
Who thinks like you? Probably your mom.
Well, I'm thinking like celebrity. I'm kind of loud, and I'm kind of.
Oh, he's not a celebrity. Well, it kind of counts.
I'm kind of loud and opinionated, and trying to think of who would be like that. I know who I want to be. I think Lady Gaga should play me.
Of course, we have a girl crush on her.
I love Lady Gaga. But here's why I think that, though. She is very bold. She's very bold. She thinks outside the box. And I feel pretty bold sometimes. And I really, in my classroom, I think way outside the box. So I'm going with Lady Gaga.
Awesome. Sam, did you think of a celebrity, or you want to go with your teacher still?
Fine. I'm going to go with my favorite, Tom Hanks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good choice.
I make him look young. I'm going to cut his hair a little bit.
He's very versatile. He would be able to adapt to anything.
Absolutely. Sam and Gina, please tell us where people can find out more about you and your show.
You can find me on Podbean, Spotify, YouTube, LinkedIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud. And not there, obviously. I think that's it, Billy.
That's his platforms. The
website that I have is www.autismrocksrolls.com. It has everything you need to know about me. And that's where you can find everything.
There's a link on that as well. So autismrocksandrolls.com. But then there's a sponsorship link, because he's getting quite a few sponsors, where you can fill out the paperwork for that. There was something else. Oh, and then he's all social media. He's TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram. And he's on all of those. So you can find him about anywhere.
You are so prolific, you guys. So I'd love to keep in touch, maybe catch up 6 months down the road, if that's all right with you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, give me a holler when you need me. I'll be here.
The name of the show is Autism Rocks and Rolls. Sam and Gina, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was an absolute pleasure. I wish we had 2 more hours to just sit and relax and converse, but maybe we can make that happen in the future.
Anytime you need us, we're here. That's what I always tell people.
Thank you so much. I wish you both the best of luck in the future with your show. We'll catch up soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Sam and Gina Mitchell. Check the show notes for links to Sam's website and to connect with him on social media. What did you get out of this episode? Let me know by leaving a review on podchaser.com. There's a link in the show notes for this, and feel free to make suggestions for what I can do to make this show even better for you. And remember to subscribe and follow Podcast Tactics to learn even more about podcasting in future episodes. Thank you.